We've been talking about in a series of what are you reaching for? I wanted to talk about how do we reach our full potential as Christians. Isn't that what we want to be? We don't want to get to the end of life and go, wow, I missed it. There was more. You had more for me, Lord. How do we reach our full potential? So we did an acronym on REACH, relationships, evangelism, A is accountability, C is calling, H was Holy Spirit. And we've taken kind of a little time to talk about this H component, this Holy Spirit. I said that the Holy Spirit is our advantage. It's our advantage as Christians, and yet many of us don't take advantage of the advantage that we have. So we've been talking about the attributes of this Holy Spirit. And we said that the Holy Spirit's a person, He's holy, He's powerful, He's our advantage. He's a helper. He's constantly praying for us. He convicts us of sin. He guides us into truth. He tells us things to come. He says that we're to receive Him. The Holy Spirit's to be received. He's intended to fill us. Also, the Holy Spirit can be resisted. You can say no to the Holy Spirit. No, I don't want to walk in that. No, I don't want you in my life. No, I don't want that. I don't want to get that fanatical. I don't want to get that crazy for the Lord. And also, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. We can make the Holy Spirit sad by some of the choices and some of the things that we do. And we ended up with, we are to listen to the Holy Spirit and obey Him. Remember that you can get all of these messages online or on our app or at livingfaithfellowship.com. If you have any questions about the Holy Spirit and that, I'm going to get a couple more weeks probably on this. You can email me at phil@livingfaithfellowship.com. All right, so if you have any questions, please email me and put something in the message box because I don't look at all the emails if I don't have it, if I don't know who it's from. So you need to tell me who you are and that you got a question about the Holy Spirit or any question. Maybe you want to see a series done here. Let me know what it is. I want to go through our main text this morning. It's going to be in Galatians 5. 16 through 25. Would you mind? We're going to read a couple of portions of it together. I just want to get it in your head before we start. So if you wouldn't mind standing, let's read together this particular portion of scripture that the Lord has given us this morning. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You may be seated. I want to talk this morning about our next point, that we are to walk in the Holy Spirit, not in the flesh. That must mean we have an option whether to walk in the Holy Spirit or to walk in the flesh. We can choose something here. Either walk in the Holy Spirit or walk in the flesh. Starting at verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Remember, it's your advantage, right? You have this advantage of the Holy Spirit. He's saying, hey, why don't you take the advantage, this Holy Spirit, and take Him with you wherever you go. Why don't you walk, your daily walk, with the Holy Spirit? He's your advantage. And what will happen if you walk in this advantage? If you walk with the Holy Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, the Holy Spirit is your advantage. The flesh is your hindrance. The Holy Spirit is your advantage. He's going to help you in your life. The flesh is a hindrance. It's going to hurt you in your life. So which one do you want to walk with? Which one do you want to listen to? Which one are you having as the center of your life? The Spirit or the flesh? The word walk here, this walk in the Spirit means to live. It means a lifestyle. A lifestyle. Live to, you know, when you talk about walk, talk. Whatever you're talking about the things of being a spiritual person, you're actually walking that walk as well. Live your life by being in the Spirit, by fellowshipping and relating daily with the Spirit, inundated with the Holy Spirit, dripped with His presence, baptized, fully immersed in the Holy Spirit of God. That's how He wants us to walk. That when we're walking, we have just the presence of God just dripping off of us because His Holy Spirit is so alive. And it's the motivation and it's the reasons for the steps that we're taking each and every day. We're taking steps because they're empowered and driven by the Holy Spirit. He's guiding us. He's telling us, take this step, go this way, do this. We're listening to that voice. We're walking in the Holy Spirit. And if you do, He says, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. This word lust, a Greek word that means a longing for what is forbidden. A longing for what is forbidden. Let me ask, maybe add on to here, what is forbidden by God? Because in our world today, it doesn't forbid very much. If it feels good, do it. If you like it, it's okay. You know, your truth is your truth and your way is your way and we shouldn't influence each other. You do your thing. And our world, our society, our culture today is one of anything goes. It's one of whatever feels good, whatever seems right to you. There's really not much forbidden. There's nothing that says, no, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't become that. You shouldn't click that. You shouldn't say that. Because it's like whatever goes. Whatever goes. The word flesh, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The word flesh is this Greek word sarx. Everybody say sarx. Sarx. It means the body. It means human nature with its frailties, physical or moral. It's these frailties, physical or moral, and passions. A human being. It's this idea that we walk with something that has these frailties, these issues that maybe aren't exactly what they probably should be. Because we have this, if you will, this sin nature that was inside of us that we're seeing redeemed by the Spirit of God when we ask Christ inside. He's trying to give us a new nature that we're walking a different way. But it seems sometimes that old nature calls back to us and it wants us to go back into the things where we were. So there's kind of a struggle at times. You're composed of a body, soul, and spirit. When we think about the flesh, we think about this idea that, hey, I have a body, I have a soul, my mind, my will, my intellect, and I have a spirit. The spirit, when you became a Christian, when you got saved, when you got born again, you got this yucky spirit that was inside of you. It got saved. All of a sudden now I have a new spirit inside of me. The Spirit of Christ is inside of me. I'm born again. The biblical term for it is I'm justified. I'm justified. I'm made right with God because my spirit is saved. My soul is your mind, your will, your intellect. It's in the process of being saved. We call that, the biblical term is sanctification. God's working on our mind. He's working on our thinking. He's working on our emotions. He's working on the things that guide us inside here. This is our soul. And then we have, and as I said, it's being saved. It's going to take a lifetime for us to kind of let the Holy Spirit work on us to start changing all the things that we do until the very end, until they throw that dirt on us at the very end of our life. God's always going to be working upon us, changing us, sanctifying us. It's a process. That when my spirit got saved, a one-time event, it happened immediately. This idea of my soul being sanctified is a process that will last my lifetime. And then we have your body, your physical body. It gets sick, it gets old, it gets hurt. At the very end of time, it will be saved. This mortal will put on immortality. This corruption will put on incorruption. We'll live forever and ever and ever in a new body. The biblical term for that is glorification. So I've got my spirit that is saved. I've got my soul that's being saved. And one day, this body will put on, this mortal will put on immortality. It will be saved. All right? Am, being, will be. So as you look at those three aspects of who you are, who do you think should lead you? That which is saved, that which is being saved, and that or that which will one day be saved. I think we should walk with that which is being saved, right? That's why he's saying walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Our body and soul make up what we call the flesh. That mind, that will, that intellect, those emotions, this frail body, this passions, these desires that we have, make up what we call our flesh. In the 1500s, reformer Martin Luther said, St. Paul uses flesh of the whole man, body and soul, reason, and all of his faculties, included, because all that is in him longs and strives after the flesh. Luther's comments point out that flesh equates to flesh equates to affections and desires that run contrary to God. Not only in the area of sexual activity, which a lot of times we think of flesh is, but in every area of life. That which is going contrary to God is the thing that our flesh revels in. It just seems to have a propensity, a passion for those desires out there that God is saying, hey, either not now, not yet, or not never. But we seem to struggle with them. We seem to get hooked on them. They seem to attach themselves to us. My flesh is drawn or attracted to sin. My flesh is drawn or attracted to sin. That's why I need to stay out of the flesh and in the Spirit. When I walk in flesh, it's thinking not good. It's thinking selfishly. It's thinking I want, not I need to give, not I love, not it's contrary to God. So when we talk about this Spirit, which is the Spirit of God in us, and that which is walking sometimes contrary to where God is, he's saying, walk here. Don't walk here. Walk in the Spirit. Don't walk in the flesh. Paul talks about the flesh in Romans, and we just read it yesterday in Romans 7. If you're following our Bible reading, which I really encourage you, you can get that on the app as well. It'll keep track of what you read each and every day so we can continue to go through the scriptures. We can get through, we're connecting the testaments this year. We're doing half the Bible, Old New Testament this year, and we'll do the other half next year. But I want people to get through the scriptures so that they know the Word of God, so it's inside of them. So this is a daily reading that you can click off that will keep you on track to get through your Bible. Romans 7, 18 and 19. For I know that in me, inside of me, let me say it this way, that is in my flesh, the scripture says, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. How much good dwells in there? How much? Nothing. Zero. Nada. Nil. Zilch. Nothing. Well, but you know, I'm just nothing. But you know, I was nothing. But I was going to try nothing. Nothing in our flesh good dwells. So should it lead our life? Excuse me? What's that? Oh, RJ's helped me out. Oh, thank you, RJ. All right. Amen, dude. Amen. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Why? Why is there this problem? What's happening here? Because the flesh is tripping up our life. If you don't know that the flesh is going to try to trip you up, it's going to try to knock you off course. It's going to try to condemn you. It's going to try to cause you to enter into sin that brings condemnation. He's going to try to do things that will cause you not to walk the straight walk that we're supposed to walk. This flesh is intended to trip us up. Your flesh, left to itself, will kill you. If not physically, it will spiritually. I've seen, if you look in our newspapers, if you look online, if you look at people, you can see lives that have been taken too soon. How? The flesh got in there and confused a person's mind. It wasn't the Spirit of the living God in there, because the Spirit of the living God breeds life. But the flesh, taken to its extreme, it'll kill us. If not physically, it will spiritually. We all have a true struggle with the flesh that leads to sin. Walking in and with the Spirit keeps you from entertaining the flesh. When I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm not entertaining what the flesh is saying to me. I'm listening to the Spirit of God. I'm listening to what the Lord wants me to do, not what my own internal desires and passions want me to do. Walking in the Spirit keeps you away from sin. We can choose what path we want to walk on. We can choose what shoes we're going to walk on. We're in Illustrators, and Pastor Joe was saying that, you know, he's got his slippers and his workout shoes. And he can choose which ones he's going to put on. Is he going to put on his slippers? Or is he going to put on his workout shoes? Pastor Joe, which one did you choose?
I'd rather not say.
just kidding. Did you have any deer shoes? They hit a deer on the way back from the conference and kind of totaled their car. So that was a little bit of a bummer. It was a big buck. And like a good guy, he just put it in the back and just took it home with him. No. Couldn't. The idea is, what are we going to put on? This is our choice. The path you walk. The Spirit, whether you go up in the morning and walk, you can either choose to walk in the shoes of the Spirit, or you can choose to walk in the shoes of the flesh. It is completely your choice. That's why he's saying, hey, walk in the Spirit. Put on those shoes. Walk in these spiritual shoes. Because if you do, this stuff over here that you don't want to do, it won't happen. But if you don't put these on, then all of a sudden these get on and we get confused and we get misled and we think that it's okay. But I love him. But we get confused by so many things, and therefore we start going down the wrong path. You see, the Spirit is our advantage. The Holy Spirit is our advantage. But we think in our own flesh somehow we're going to figure it out. You're not. You weren't intended to run your life by your flesh. You were intended to run your life by the Spirit of the living God that Jesus gave you, His Holy Spirit, and placed inside of you when you asked Him to come in at salvation. We find out that the Spirit is very willing to do great stuff, but our flesh is very, very weak. In Matthew 26:40-41, Jesus is speaking. Then he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch, keep awake, stay vigilant, and pray, lest you enter into temptation." You see, Jesus knew that the Spirit indeed is willing. I want to do that. But the flesh is weak. If you don't understand that your flesh is weak, you're going to let something weaken your life destroy your life. The word weak here, asthenes. Usually when there's an A in front of a word, it means the opposite of, opposing. The word then, it means strength, but it's the opposite of strength. So actually the definition of the word in Strong's is strengthless. Strengthless. I have no strength. I can lift nothing. I have no power. You see, our flesh is weak. God gets that. He understands that. The flesh is weak to walk godly, holy, or rightly. However, I have found this. This is just pragmatically speaking here. However, I have found that the flesh is very strong to walk into sin. Flesh is very weak. Oh, I don't know. We give in. I should stand up and say something. Oh, I don't want to. What will they think of me? I mean, it's always weak to take a response, to walk godly, to stand up to something, to do something holy or do it rightly. But it seems to be very strong to go, no, we don't want to do that. We're very strong to move or walk into sin somewhere or to justify why we're doing what we're doing or why this is okay for me. I know it's not okay for everybody, but you know, for me, God understands that we have all this rationale, how we excuse ourselves. Because sin is very strong to help you rationalize your sin. It's very strong into keeping you in the dark. It's very weak to lead you in the way that you really want to go. Continue on in our scripture for this morning in Galatians 5. For the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. They're contrary to one another. I think a better translation, or at least I like here, is in the ESV. It says it this way. For the desires of the flesh, what the flesh wants, are against the spirit. And the desires of the spirit, what the spirit wants, are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other. The desires of what your flesh want to do and the desires of what the Spirit of God inside of you wants to do are diametrically opposed. They're going in different directions. They will take you in different directions in your life. What the flesh desires and wants and what the Spirit desires and wants are polar opposites. That word contrary. They're contrary. It means to lie opposed. To be adverse. It means repugnant. Spirit, flesh, repugnant. Repugnant. The word repugnant means extremely distasteful, unacceptable. The flesh is repugnant to the spirit, and the spirit is repugnant to the flesh. They are not friends. And they don't like each other. Don't try making them friends. Well, you know, or excuse it away. They're not friends. They don't get along. We try to make them friends by walking in both worlds. Well, you know, the flesh, I love the spirit and I love this over here and I love that over there. We're trying to pick from both gardens. We're trying to pick something out of here. And we're trying to pick something out of here. We're trying to pick, oh, I want this. Oh, but my body, my flesh, it kind of wants that over there. The spirit is your advantage. The spirit is your advantage. When I think about magnets, you know, you turn them the other way and all of a sudden they repel each other, right? They push each other away. That's what the flesh and the spirit are. Whatever we center our life around will repel the other. If it's the flesh, you will repel the spirit. If it's the spirit, you will repel the flesh. Trying to make spirit and flesh friends. If we try to make them both friends, one on each side, here's what it says, so that you do not do the things that you wish. The ESV says to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. You see, this thing that's going on here is going to keep you from doing the things that you really want to do? Have you ever done something, got done doing it, man, and the moment you wanted it, you wanted to do that, it was great. You were thinking, oh no, all my friends and the party and all. And then the next morning you go, oh my gosh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. But then the next day, all of a sudden, we get back in the same circumstances and we get pulled to wanting to do what we really don't want to do, because our flesh, which is weak in the things of the kingdom of God, is so strong to push us towards sin. Don't walk here. Walk here, the Bible says. I think about this. These are polar opposites. I think about a tug of war game. I think that they're pulling either way. I got a tug of war rope out here. Do we have Nate, do you have some folks from your Bible study here?
Yeah.
Can you guys come on up here? And then Hannah Gilmore, are you here? Do you have folks from your Bible study? Come on over here. Let's put one on this side over here. You stay on this side. You guys go on this side.
See.
You ladies go over on this side. Or whatever Bible study. Oh, the other Bible study over here. One side over here. Other Bible study over here. Okay. I need Bible study leaders. Come here. Bible study leader. Come here. Okay. These are two great folks right here. Give them a big hand. Amen. So we're going to do this illustration here. They're polar opposite. One side is going to be the flesh. The other side is going to be the spirit. And I guess we're going to rock, paper, scissors to figure it out. All right. Ready? One. Okay.
Rock, paper, scissors.
You guys do it. Okay. Right.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Boom. Okay. All right. What do you want to pick?
We'll be the flesh.
Okay, good. All right. No, they're good. We're good over there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right. It don't matter. All right. Let's pick up. Oh, we need to get this. You're going to have to do something over here, Caleb. You have to get on the other side of the rope. Take your. Okay. Let's pick the rope up here then. Everybody got it there? Okay. Pick it up. All right. Now get it a little tight. Okay. Now I need you to pull. And by the way, winners are going to get something. All right. Pull. Come on. Hold a second. We can't do that over there. Sometimes the flesh gets more. Oh, pull. Oh, that's hard. Yeah, that's good. All right. I need a couple other flashy folks over here. Pull out front. Come out front. Hold it for a second. Don't cheat, Spirit. Don't cheat. All right. Let's get it back over here. I need two more. You two guys over there. Hop on this side over. On this side over here. Yeah, both of you get over there. You ready? Ready? The flesh doesn't give up, man. Are you thinking the flesh is going to quit on this thing? All right, let's go. Let's go. Pull. All right, hold it. Okay, you doing okay?
Yep.
Come on back out here to the front here. All right, these guys don't take instructions very well, this flesh over here. All right, okay, so ready? Okay, start pulling again. Dan, can you come on over here? Hey, Steve, can you come over here? Hey. Can you come on over here? Hey, come on over here. Come on. Get over here. Ready?
That's right.
Set. Pull.
Oh, gosh.
Keep going. All right, get over there. Keep going. All right, hold up. Now, did you see how their flesh responded there? It lost, right? Did it just quit, though?
No.
Does the flesh ever quit?
No.
No, it doesn't quit. Some more fleshy guys. Come on over here. Curtis. Our pastor. Come on over here. Pastor Joe. Come on over here. Oh, he can't do it. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Then bring his wife over here. Come on. Get over here. I need a couple more over here. All right. Let's get some kids over here. All right. This is no, remember that all illustrations break down somehow, so don't. All right, ready? 1, 2, 3, pull. Okay. Oh, look at that. Keep going. Okay, get over here. Get some more over here. All right, we're dragging them around. Okay, hold up a second now. Okay, here's what happened now. Let me tell you what happens now. This is a battle that you are going through. And it happened just like this. You're thinking, and the flesh is going, no, I want to walk in the Spirit. And so the Spirit is winning. You're praying and the Spirit's winning. And then all of a sudden the flesh doesn't give up. And so it adds a few more things. Well, what about this? And what about that? And how about this? And I'll throw in that. And then all of a sudden, boom, 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 it starts going. And then all of a sudden you're thinking, no, I want to walk in the Spirit and move this way. Now, here's what happens. After there are two times that you're very vulnerable to the flesh. One time is when everything goes wrong in your life. What do you want to do? Give up, right? Want to throw the rope down and say, to heck with it. I tried. And look what's happening to me. All these difficulties, all these problems, what's going on? And therefore, we drop the rope and we quit pulling. And we let the flesh just run us around. With fear, with anxiety, with so many things, we just completely give up. We quit pulling. We quit being involved in our spirituality. Quit reading the Bible. We quit praying. We quit stuff. The other time that you're very vulnerable to attack from the flesh, is after a great victory. You did something absolutely incredible. Elijah, the prophets of Baal, I've killed them all. I mean, it was just like, you know, fire come down and all that stuff. And now what's he doing after that event's over?
Running from Jezebel.
He's running from Jezebel. Running from Jezebel like a coward. He runs completely away. He says, I want to die. I just want to die. Wait a second. My gosh, you did this great, powerful, wonderful thing. And fire comes down and licks up everything. And oh, no. You see, after a great, great victory, the enemy, it'll get you when you're not looking. You're thinking, I'm invincible. I can call fire down from heaven. I'm hot. And all of a sudden, you're going to fall on your face and the flesh is going to pull you through the briar patch. Wow. The other thing is this. Sometimes we get to pulling. Hey, just kind of pull again here. Just not, let's not win anybody. Just get a little pull on here. We're pulling. You guys pull. You're going, hey, I deserve a rest. And so everybody here, drop your rope. Okay. We're just dropping the rope. What happens?
Flesh.
Have you ever gone, you know, I'm tired, man. I'm just going to take a rest. I'm going to take a rest in this. I don't need to read my Bible for a couple of weeks. I don't need really to pray. I don't need to incorporate this thing called fasting. I've done a lot. I've worked a lot. I've worked hard. I'm just going to take a little time for me. That's the flesh. And you know what happens? It just takes off. You see, there's one thing about the flesh. They never sit down. They never quit pulling. They never go, you win. We're done. We're never going to fight you again. We're all over. You bad. We not. We know you're good. Habawana. I mean, it is. They're not going to do that. The flesh is not going to do that. It's not going to give up. It will never give up. You're thinking, hey, there's not much resistance. I don't need to pull much. They're tricking you. They're just slacking for a while. You give up and then they pull it right out of your hand. I need you to understand how crafty, how deceitful. You got, give everybody here a hand. Give them all a hand. You guys can sit down. Do we have candy for them all? Where is it? Here, we got lots of candy. Here. Grab some of that stuff over there. Grab that. Over here. You guys here. Just, everybody just get it. Okay. All right. I need you to understand how the flesh works. He's crafty. He's deceitful. He doesn't play fair. The enemy will always tempt you into the things of the flesh. You can never give up. You can never sit down. You can never say it's enough. I don't need to read my Bible anymore. I kind of know it all. Oh, gee, you're in for a great fall, Humpty Dumpty. Continuing on in our scripture. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The word led here, it means to so influence others as to cause them to follow a recommended course of action. We are to follow the influence and recommended course of action that the Spirit of God has for us, not the flesh. In Romans 8, that was just our reading this morning, if you read it, Romans 8, 12 through 14 says this, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. We're debtors not to the flesh. You owe the flesh nothing. You owe the flesh nothing. We're not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will. If you live according to your desires, according to your flesh, you will. If you live according to the flesh, you will. But if by the Spirit, how? If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. You see, the Spirit is your advantage. You want to get guys off the rope? The Spirit is your advantage. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your body, you will live. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, then you will live. The only way to put to death the deeds of the body is by the Spirit. We need the power of the Spirit. The flesh does not surrender easily. It goes kicking and screaming. It doesn't quit. So stay vigilant. The result of living by the flesh, you will die. The result of living by the Spirit is you will live. The Spirit is our advantage. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh. Let's talk about what is the flesh like. What are the results? What are the characteristics of walking in the flesh or allowing the flesh to run your life? The works of the flesh are evident. How do you know you are operating in the flesh? These things will be running in your life, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's an ouch to me. I don't get it. I don't understand it, but I can't advise you to walk in the flesh. As a pastor, when I look at that, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Hey, my goal, my job is to help you inherit the kingdom of God. It says right here, if you walk in all those things, i.e. in the flesh, you won't inherit the kingdom. My goal is don't walk there. Don't step in that doo-doo. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Let me read this from the Passion Translation. The Passion Translation is a translation that's trying to take the vernacular of today and put it in there, keeping true to the meanings of the word. But what would we say today on these things? Here's what it says. The cravings of the self-life, the flesh, are obvious. Duh. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment. When others are favored, we have resentment. Temper tantrums, not just for babies, but for adults. Angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions, being envious of the blessings of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their Say it with me.
Freedom.
God gave you freedom. When He redeemed you, He gave you freedom. Freedom of choice, freedom to do, freedom to walk where you want to walk, flesh or spirit. Those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom realm of God. Will not inherit the kingdom realm of God. And let me finish with this scripture, the last part. You see, the Holy Spirit produces fruit. The Holy Spirit produces fruit. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Notice it doesn't say the fruits like they're individual things. It's saying fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. The result of having the Holy Spirit in your life. The result of having the Holy Spirit in your life. If the Holy Spirit is moving, He wants all of these operating in your life. Your life will display these attributes. It's not like, hey, I got one of those. You know, God only gives one to every... No. We're not talking about gifts of the Spirit. We're talking about fruit. Fruit. This is the fruit. This is the fruit. So when you go, oh, I got that one, but some others I need to work on. Work on them. What are these attributes? Love. Love. An unconditional agape love that just loves people because even when they mess up, even when they're their enemies, they just seem to love people. Joy. They just have a smile. They're not angry. Their brow isn't furrowed. They just have a joy. How you doing? Oh, it's great, man. And then you find out in their life it's all falling apart. But you know what? It's the joy of the Lord is their strength. And so they're just happy that they've got the Lord going through whatever trial they're going through. And they have this joy. Peace. Peace. They're not agitated. This peace that comes from trusting God. I'm at peace even though life is tough. Long suffering. They don't give up. Kindness. You just see them and you go, man, they're just kind. Goodness. Faithfulness. Faithful to God. Faithful to their family. Faithful to their way of life. Faithful to their wife. Gentleness. Not easily agitated. And self-control, not controlled by their lust, but controlled by the Spirit of God that lives inside of them. You see, the Holy Spirit produces fruit. You wouldn't close. The Holy Spirit produces fruit. The flesh produces worms that ruin the fruit. The Holy Spirit produces fruit. But the flesh produces these works, these worms that ruin the fruit. This anger, it just ruins your peace. These things in that are obvious here, they begin to ruin the fruit. They're these wormholes. So, what do we do? As I bring this to a conclusion, I have one question to ask you. So what are we to do with the flesh? What we're supposed to do with it? Oh, He gives us instruction. And those who are Christ's, those who belong to Christ, those who are Christians, you know what they've done? They have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You see, the answer is crucify it. You know, they yelled loud. What should we do with Christ? Crucify Him! Oh, if we could only yell as loud to our flesh, crucify it! Crucify my flesh! But we seem to be so quiet at times. We need to be vocal. Don't let it live. Let it die. Don't save it. You must crucify the flesh. It's your choice to place it on the sacrificial altar. And maybe today, you need to place some on the altar here, your flesh, and say, Lord, let me die to this. Let me die to this work of the flesh. Help me. Help me, Spirit. It gives me the power over the flesh. Crucify it. Over my dead body, exactly. Exactly. Let it die. Let it die. Verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know what this says? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you call yourself a Spirit-filled Christian, walk like one. Walk like one. Father, help us. I didn't preach this message to condemn us. I preach it to reveal truth. There is a battle going on. There is a tug of war. Not over our salvation. This isn't a tug of war over our salvation. We're saved. Going to heaven. It's a tug of war of how we're going to walk our walk. What are we going to do tomorrow? What steps are we going to take? What are we going to say? How are we going to respond? How are we going to allow the Holy Spirit either to increase in our life or decrease? John got it when he said, he must increase. I must decrease. We want to see more of the Spirit alive inside of us, God, and less of the flesh calling the shots. Father, help me to walk more in that Spirit and not in the lust of the flesh. Father, help us to be Spirit-filled Christians that walk like it. That's what we want, Lord. Help us. Help us. Help us. Jesus. Amen. As we dismiss, I'd encourage you either at your seat or maybe come up. Maybe do something different. And if there's some things in the flesh of your life that you want to just leave here at the altar and ask God to crucify it, then do it here as we dismiss. I'm not going to beg you. I'm not going to implore you. I'm going to ask you to listen to the Spirit, Spirit-filled Christian, and do something about the flesh. Take a move. Take a step. Next week we're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. And that should be a very fun study as well. I love you guys. And I love what God by His Spirit does inside of us. Let's let Him do more of that. God bless. Love you guys.